Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our reading of Juz 23 of the Quran, inshallah ta'ala, as we come to our final stretch in these glorious final 10 days and nights of Ramadan. And we start the discussion with the, if you see the last ruku' of Juz 22, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابِ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. It starts with this story, this similitude, that take heed from this incredible example. Striking example that should really resonate with you, that's how it should hit you emotionally, of the people of the locality when the prophets came to them. And so it's essentially a story, some ulama say refers to Antioch, that there was this group of, there was a locality in the Byzantine provinces or the Roman provinces, or they say it's Greek, that's what they say. Anyways, what happens is there's two prophets sent to them. They reject the prophets. The prophets then sort of are strengthened by a third prophet, and they make their case about why they shouldn't be rejected. And the people see them as a bad omen. They say, you know, a lot of, you're really disrupting our way of life. You don't conform to the British values. So this is sort of, they make these aspersions against them. They say, we're going to kill you, and we're going to kill you in the most torturous, most painful ways. And the prophets are responding as best they can, but the moment is very tense. And then suddenly, just at the beginning, just before the juz starts, you have this, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى, this man who comes running from very far, from the outskirts of the city. Suddenly it's not called a town or a locality, it's called a city. And he's saying, oh my people, follow the prophets. Follow those that do not ask for any wealth, and they themselves are rightly guided. And then he makes this case for why, first he sort of exonerates the prophets, then he lays a case for why they should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, he sort of makes the stand. He says, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ, surely I believe in my Lord, so listen to me, take heed of this. And at this point, the surah sort of, there's a disappearing act. The story vanishes for a moment, then it comes back, meaning it skips a few scenes, and all you hear at the end is قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ, enter the garden of paradise. And his last request in all of this, and I think this is the central point of the unknown caller, is يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ, if only my people knew. All of this is driven by a deep desire, concern, worry, and anxiety about his people. And that's what he keeps reminiscing back to, that يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, if only my people knew of the forgiveness that my Lord جَلَّ فِي الْعُلَى gave to me, and the fact that he placed me among the people of Karam, the people of honor, the people of dignity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, and all of this, if you remember, is a parable about the people of Mecca, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it was just one blast and it was all gone. And then there's this deep, sad sort of cry of regret. Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. They had this great opportunity. They had an opportunity and they wasted it. They used to just mock the Prophet. And this is what happens when you mock the Prophet. The result is obviously death and destruction. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have they not seen how many people we have destroyed from before them? They will never come back. And at the end, all of them will be presented on the Day of Judgment. And so there's this beautiful story about the unknown caller, which we are doing tafsir of at the moment in our verses of manhood, which is why I have a good understanding of this one, because of the mention of Rajul. He is Rajul, and Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi in his tafsir mentions he's Kamil al-Rujula. He's the complete man. That's everything about him here just exemplifies the completeness of being a man. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on speaking about his power. Yasin, as you remember, is a Makki surah, the heart of the Quran. The Day of Judgment, resurrection, power, divine oneness, divine existence, divine attributes are something that will drive this surah very much. So ayatul lahum al-ardul mayta, the sign of the dead earth that we bring to life. And all of the gardens and all of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of, to eat from their fruits and what their hands have made. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, there has to be gratitude. Gratitude is what? The first port of gratitude is to recognize the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجِ, all of these pairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, the agriculture on the earth, the night, the removal of the day, the sun, the fact that it moves at a fixed time, the moon, that it moves around and it comes back to the sort of very thin crescent type. And at the end of all of this, the sun and the moon, they're working in their own orbit. They're not catching each other. They don't crash into each other. And the night it doesn't sort of catch or precede the day. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. All of them are just sort of swimming in their own orbit. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about ships, that if Allah, and if Allah wanted to destroy them, there's nothing that could stop them. It's all the mercy of God. It's all mercy. It's all just mercy. And then they asked, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. Not a sign from the signs of the Lord comes, except they completely turn away. And when they're asked to spend money, this line, this really, I think about this one sometimes, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. This is how you have to, this is how people perceive the powers of the universe. You know, they don't see God, جَلَّ فِي الْعُلَىٰ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this, I don't know how to, how do I put this, the being with the names and the attributes. They have this sort of impersonal, non-personal entity who's just, he's determining everything, and that's it. So when for example here they say, when they're asked to spend on the wealth that Allah gave them, they say, قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the disbelievers say to the believers, أَنُطْعِمُوا مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ. Should we feed those that if Allah wanted, He would have fed? So it's like they don't have any understanding of human responsibility. They don't want to take any responsibility for any actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. All you are is drowning in clear misguidance. Everybody can see how this is all a delusion. It's all a facade. It's not real. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them about the coming of the punishment. And then, as we come near the end of the surah, last few pages, the discussion about the blowing of the trumpet on the Day of Judgment, that everybody will rise. يَا وَيْلِنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا, who awoke us from our sleep. هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَ وَاحِدَةً. It's just the one blast. صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the rewards for the goodness, for the people of goodness on the Day of Judgment. And then is this beautiful line. They say Imam Abu Hanifa would recite this all night, just this one verse. وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. You have been distinguished today. You have been found out today, O transgressor, O sinner. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells people not to go near the devil, don't follow the path of the devil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Jahannam. And at this point, we're coming sort of to the end of the surah. He speaks of the sealing of the mouths and how the hands and the feet will speak on the Day of Judgment for all the sins that man has committed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at all we did in terms of the creation, that we were the ones who placed all of these animals and all of these food and drink and all of these things you have to benefit from and to show gratitude for. And the Quran and all of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and all of the ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established His truth, the truth, which is His truth. His truth is the truth, you know, because we have this modern concept of postmodern, and it's like everybody has their own truth. Yeah, but there's only one truth that's actually true, and that's the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً. They took gods other than Allah, so that they could be given victory or assisted. Nobody could help them. And it's told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to be saddened by what they do. And at the end, the Quran just sort of affirms all of these things that it's already sort of affirmed about. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create everything. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power. It is only, all existence is just manifest by virtue of the kun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that things should be, and they are. And then we come to Surah Safat, which is our next surah. And the surah starts, وَالصَّافَاتِ صَفَّا فَزَاجِرَاتِ زَجْرَا فَالتَّارِيَاتِ ذِكْرَا. Speaking of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though there are other interpretations. And then the surah goes straight into some discussions, a very interesting one. Straight away talks about the protection of the heavens, the beauty of the heavens, the adornment of the heavens through the stars, and how the stars are not just beauty, but they're also a protection from the shayateen. Because we know about the soothsayers, and they still exist, you know. I can't remember now because we're on to Juz 23, but there was an early Juz where we talked about the devils. The Juz of the devils. Not Juz of the devils like that, but there's a Juz that discusses devils. It's not coming to me. Maybe somebody remembers, they can let me know. But in there, you know, the mushrikeen, or at least the more nefarious elements of them, are very much indebted to the shayateen. So even now you have people. It has to happen, because how can it be that suddenly We hit the 20th century, and now all of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been warning about, they don't exist anymore. Of course they do. Now they just hide it, so you don't know about the occultists and the demon worshippers and things like this. Or they are mainstream and we're just too blind to see it, because they're doing all their rituals and hiding in plain sight. Anyways, the point being here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the meteors come to stop the devils from reaching the Mala'ul A'la, which is the high level of the angels, where the discussions take place about the future and about decisions that are going to be made. And they would listen and come with little snippets and then present it to their soothsayers, who would say things, and then they would say 10 things and 5 of them would come true, and people would think, oh wow, and the other 5, but then you have to keep it vague, isn't it? You're going to make a tall, dark stranger, and that's anybody. It could be a black guy, so that's the dark stranger. Or it could be some guy wearing black, so that's the dark stranger. It could be, I don't know, anyways. Or it could be in a dark room, now that's the dark stranger. So it's just these vague terms they give you, and then you're just stuck. Anything you see, you just start interpreting it as if you've seen the occult, or you've seen that the person has seen the future. Anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He protects the heavens and protects the truth of His knowledge, or access to His knowledge, by virtue of these meteors. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His power and how these people reject the power. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Day of Judgment. And it's a very sort of explicit, very full frontal account. هَذَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. That that's the day of decision, the day of distinguishing, the day of separation that you reject. And everything will be gathered, and then they'll be told, you know, take them to the path of the hellfire, and then stop them here. Now let them be asked questions. Nobody can help anybody. Today you all submit. It's too late to submit, though. And then they're asking each other things, and now they're going to taste the punishment, and they're all going to be together participating. This is the participation of the Day of Judgment in the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they're saying, oh, should we reject? They used to say that, oh, should we reject our gods for this insane poet? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He came with the truth, and He affirmed everything the Prophet said before Him. And now you're tasting, they're tasting the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody's going to get it except the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are completely and utterly submitting, have given themselves sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jannah, about what people will have in Jannah. This is verses 41 onwards from Surah Safat. Just reclining, drinks, just delicious drinks, no sort of disturbances, these gigantic palaces, diamonds, and they're all speaking to each other. There's this then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this conversation of the people of Jannah. One of them says to the other, I had a friend, and he used to always just make fun of me. Oh, you one of those, yeah, who accepts, that, who affirms the Prophet, that, and you affirm, sorry, resurrection, that we're all going to die and we're going to turn to dust, and then we're going to come back and be held to account. And then asking, well, do you guys know where he went? That was my friend, you know, I remember him. So he's shown, he sees him in the fire. He sees him burning in the fire. And in the first word, Tallah, it's this moment of immense astonishment. Tallah, Imam Ibn Ashur mentions, if Tallah comes in the Quran, whatever follows is something astonishing. In kitta la turdeen, you nearly took me with you. And if it wasn't for the blessings of my Lord, I would have been from those presented for punishment. And at the end, he says, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. It's for moments like this, the Quran says, that everybody does actions. The doers of actions only do actions for a day like this, for the Day of Judgment, for the fire of hell, to protect themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some of the punishments of hell, the tree of Zaqoom, which is a disgusting tree. طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. It's the things that come out of it, they're as if they're the heads of devils. Like the fruits or whatever that comes out of it, this is like the heads of devils. And they're going to eat from this, and they're just going to fill their stomachs, but there's nothing to fill, and it's all like stuck in their throats, and it's got these thorns, and then they're going to have this hot water that's just going to boil and boil their brains and boil their whole innards. And this is the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to talk about some of the stories of the prophets, snippets of lives of the prophets after this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this idea of following the way of your forefathers, this idea of culture and tradition. And then he starts the discussion on Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that him and his family were saved. and his progeny was the one who remained. And then Salamun ala Nuhin fil alamin. It's a very beautiful sort of turn of phrase the way the Quran does it in this section. Innahu min ibadina al mu'mineen and mukhlisin comes up. And then everybody else is drowned. And then he talks about wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim. From his group is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he comes to Allah with a sound heart. And then it talks about his engagement with his father and his people, and the stars, and because these were Sabians and they used to worship the stars. And then ultimately this idea of فَقْبَلُوا إِلَيْهِ يَزِفُونَ فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينَ. He attacks the idols, he destroys the idols. And then they decide to burn him. We discussed this in some detail from Surah Al-Anbiya. And then he's given this son. Okay, so this is a very nice depiction of his son. Story of him and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. He's finally given this son at this old age. And then he says, when his son reaches the age, he says, Qali ya bunayya, O my son, O my beloved son, I saw in a dream that I'm slaughtering you. So what do you think about this? And the son says, Qali ya abatif'al ma tu'mar, O my father, do what you have been commanded. Soon, inshallah, you will find me to be from those who are patient. And he presented himself. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. We gave him a very beautiful slaughter in return as an expiation or a compensation for that. And so that's the Torah story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then it moves. So this is now verse 114 to talk about Sayyidina Musa and Harun, who for some reason I haven't put in the slides. وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَى مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُمَا وَقَوْمَهُمَا مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. This great misfortune and punishment they are protected from. And their people, i.e. Bani Israel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory, and they were guided. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards people, and how they're from the chosen ones, and they're from the believing ones. And then Ilyas, Elijah, I think this is, alayhi salatu wasalam, that they call upon Baal, okay, and the person with the interest in the occult that I have. It's not a good thing, but I know Baal is a Baal, isn't it? And it's the very famous demon god that a lot of Satanists and things worship now, and he's mentioned in the Quran that they call upon Baal even though they have the greatest of the creators, Jalla fil Ula subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah rabbakum rabba abaikum al-awwalin. They reject him. Salamun ala Ilyasin, inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, about what happened to his people and how they were destroyed very briefly. And then Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, about how he goes into the ship and he's swallowed by the whale or the big fish, and he stays. And if it hadn't been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it hadn't been for the fact that he was from those who made tasbih, he would have stayed in the belly of the whale until the day of resurrection. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves the discussion back to the mushrikeen of Mecca. And this is now the end part of the surah. That they say that they have daughters. They prefer daughters, but then they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. So what do they think of Allah? That's really what it is. It's not undermining daughters. It's just saying, what do you think of Allah? That there's things you don't like, but you make them upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has neither daughters or sons. وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْمُسَبِّحُونَ. And then it speaks about the people who have given themselves completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sort of just brings the surah to an end. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes this, and it's a beautiful finishing. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And that brings us to the end of Surah Safat. Next surah, we're going to have to move a little bit quicker. Surah Sad. Okay, so this is Surah Sad. Again, starts with the mention of the Quran, وَالْقُرْآنِ ذِي ذِكْرٍ. And then it talks about the people of disbelief and how they're in this state of immense arrogance, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we've destroyed everything. Destroyed people before them who called on gods and they did all of these things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how they're I've called it the foolishness of disbelief, but this is the ajibu. They're so shocked that a prophet has come to them, and they say he's a liar and he's a magician and he's made all of the gods into one god, and this is such an unfounded thing. And ما سمعنا بهذا في الملة, we never heard of this, and this is all made up. بل هم في شك من ذكري بل لما يذوقوا عذاب. They'll taste the punishment, then they'll know what the truth is. أم عندهم خزائن رحمة ربك العزيز ربك العزيز الوهاب. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just putting down the gauntlet to these people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of people who've been destroyed before. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he says, وَلِوَ الصَّيْحَةَ وَاحِدَةً. This comes up so many times. إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً وَمَا يَنْظُرُ هَوْلَا إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً مَا لَهَا مِنْ فَوَاقٍ. There's no escape from this, the punishment that comes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves the discussion about Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam. وَذْكُرْ عَبْدِنَا دَاوُودَ ذَا الْأَيْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. Okay, this constantly turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the elements power alayhi salatu wa salam. We gave him this power, we gave him the judgment, we gave him wisdom. And then the story of the two people who come disputing with Dawood alayhi salam, in front of Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam. And they come, and these two men, and they're seeking judgment about the sheep. About the 99 and a sheep, and then the one sheep, and meaning that, you know, there's a story, I think Ibn Kathir narrates, of the man, they come and they're two brothers, and one says, he gave me the sheep and now he wants it back, and or something like that. And Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam basically makes a judgment, a sort of hasty judgment. And so now what's happened is, because he's saying, look, you've already got all these sheep, why are you trying to take this one back? And then later, according to Ibn Kathir, he realizes that this was actually angels testing him. And at that point, he seeks forgiveness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابَ. He's فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ. He falls and into ruku' and he's seeking return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this beautiful verse, يَا دَوُدُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ. We placed you as a vicegerent upon the earth. We gave you this power. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Rule the people, govern between the people, make decisions between the people with the truth and justice. Don't follow the desires, because they will just ultimately misguide you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever that happens to, they will be given this tremendous punishment on the day for what they have forgotten of the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment has to be the main source of all your actions. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm just trying to, okay, yes, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just there's a sort of like a jumla mu'tarida, just some statements about the Quran and such. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves to talk about Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, he is also a wab of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he's given this part, qala rabbi ighfir li wa hab li. There's also more account, but we don't have time, that he's given this kingdom, the unprecedented kingdom, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and the wind, and obviously he has the jinn, and he has the birds, and all of the animals, and all of these immense powers that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam has. And then the story moves to our master Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, idh nada rabbahu, when he calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Lord, anni masani shaitan, that the devil has touched me, binusbin wa adab, with this affliction and punishment. And then urqud birijlik, kick with your foot, and the water will come, and the water comes. Anyway, so Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously we don't believe the Israelite narrations that sort of overdo the affliction that he suffered, and they make it sound, because he's a prophet, and the prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we have this rational obligation, this rationally obligatory to believe that the prophets have qualities that will not dissuade people from accepting their religion. And if Sayyidina Dawood Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam had all of these immense afflictions, and his body was pouring out with all of these things that the people claim, and then obviously that would have just put people off, and so that's not worthy of a prophet. But nevertheless, he was given an affliction, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just speaks about the nature of the prophets, various prophets, you know, all of these chosen prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. He speaks about the garden of paradise, Jahannam. He speaks about the fire of hell and what's waiting for people therein. No salvation, no escape. لا نرى رجالا كنا نعدهم من الأشرار اتخذناهم سخريا أم زاغت عنهم الأبصار. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes this discussion about this surah with a discussion. It's spoken a lot about prophets, a lot about resurrection, a lot about sort of Meccan themes, but it finishes with this discussion, or one of the last discussions is a discussion about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his back, that he was blown into, and everybody accepted him apart from the shaitan, the devil. He said he was better than him. قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And the devil now is given this respite until the day that comes. And he says, I will misguide everybody except from, again, عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمْ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, the fully sincere slaves of yours. And that's how the surah sort of finishes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just quickly, we'll go through Surah Zumar very briefly. because surah, the surah sort of starts and then it finishes. So the surah starts again with the mention of the Quran. It talks about the Quran. It talks about the greatness of the religion of Islam. It talks about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, obviously, every time we've spoken about this before, every time these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation are enumerated, it's an effort to sort of place the oneness of God, Jalla fil Ula. But oneness is not like, again, I just want to make this very clear, it's just that He is the only force acting within nature. That's what divine oneness is. So people think divine oneness is this, you know, like this old Wahhabi idea that, oh, don't, you know, prostrate to, and you don't do that. But why don't you do that? Is because you believe all the forces in the universe and the cosmos and all movements and all leaves and everything that falls and rises and moves and turns and everything, it's only by the will of God. That's the oneness of Allah. Huwa Allahul Wahidul Qahhar, the all power, the all powerful, and whose power sort of really overtakes everything. Jalla fil Ula, yes, Qahhar. And then it talks about the night and the day and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls everything, how He created everything. Takfur fa inna Allah ghaniyan ankum, if you disbelieve, Allah has no need for you, He doesn't want people. But in tashkuru yardahu lakum, if you are grateful, then this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the fickle nature of man, who when he's afflicted calls on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again like we mentioned, and then he turns away. And so the idea is that you have to be in a constant state of sincere calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just coming to an end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks a lot here about sincerity. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that I was commanded, قُلْ إِنْ أُمِرْتُ نَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ مُخْلِصَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, to worship only Allah, to be sincere for Him, to all the religion is just for Him. قُلْ إِنْ لَا أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصَ لَهُ دِينِ, I would say, قُلْ إِنْ لَا أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصَ لَهُ دِينِ, that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I worship, completely giving my religion to Him. Worship whoever you want, you're only going to harm yourselves, etc., etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His power again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, that whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to Islam, he has light from his Lord. Those whose hearts have been sealed, there is only damnation for them. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, they are in this deep, drowning in clear misguidance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this beautiful speech, this kitab. تَقْشَعِرُوا مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَنُ رَبَّهُمْ, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who fear their Lord, it shakes their skin. And then everything about them just turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the surah, sort of how it finishes, speaking about people and how they react to the Quran and how they respond to the revelation, how they respond to the resurrection and other such things. Quran and Arabian غير ذي عوج لعلهم يتقون, this Quran that is completely in Arabic has no crookedness therein, so that you may be God conscious. And then it finishes with about this the people. This is a very interesting verse, actually. This mathal, that is very interesting, because it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes the similitude of a man who has multiple owners fighting over him, and then there's a man who's just owned by one. Are they the same? And they're saying that literally, like, you have this intense anxiety within you when all of these different movements and ideas and people and these contenders to godhood are fighting for you, or is the contentment in just complete utter submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءَ, he has many, many partners fighting amongst each other to get to him. مُتَشَاكِسُونَ, this competition. وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِلْرَجُلِ, and there's a man who's completely in submission to one. هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا, it's a very beautiful method, and a good book to read is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayhi's Amthal fil Quran, a very nice book. And anyway, that brings us to the end of the juz. So we have some lessons. And I think we're going to stop doing the lessons soon, because there's so many surahs coming now that it'll be difficult to put like a resounding theme, because the themes are within the surahs. Ajza don't really have themes. The only way ajza have themes is because the whole juz is taken up by one surah. But generally, if you have like you're going to have like, I don't know, 10 surahs, and you're trying to make a universal theme, and some are Madani, some are Makki, some are talking about hypocrites, some are talking about this, some are talking about that. It's very difficult to put universalized themes. So we have some lessons. The unknown man from Surah Yasin, power and paradise, resurrection, the prophets, lot of discussion of prophets, some in more detail, some in less detail. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and Ismail alayhi salatu salam, the heavens and the earth, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Suleiman alayhi salatu salam, Dawood alayhi salatu salam. And then I think what happened is I realized there's so many other themes that I wasn't going to be able to do it justice. And then just zooming in for today, It's just, I think it's a verse that we can use as a guide as we read the Quran. What does the Quran do to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, consistent, he revealed over time this amazing speech, kitaban, a book, mutashabihan, everything is just in conformity, mathani, everything, like there's all these repeated lessons. Taqsha'iru minhu juludul ladina yakhshawna rabbahum, the skin and the hearts of those who fear Allah are shaken and tremble by virtue of it. And they soften, their skin and their hearts soften and turn towards the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides whoever He wants. And then whosoever Allah misguides, then nobody can guide. And so just a reflection, really, as we come to a close on this month of Ramadan. What is our relationship with the Quran? How do we react to when the Quran is recited? What does it do to us? And what does it not do to us? And then why is that? And what can we do to make sure that our relationship with the Quran, that we come to it seeking and ready to be shaken by it? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who are people of the Quran. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.